Our guest at the cafe this morning is A&M Commerce Economics Professor Dr. Dale Funderburk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we talk about the Texas economy from time to time, and Dale, I sent you a story about the Texas Workforce Commission report, and a lot of it looks very, very good. 31,000 jobs added in January in Texas. Job growth for 10 straight months now, but underlying that, there's still some concern about certain aspects of the Texas economy.
One thing I've preached for years is that one number rarely tells the whole story. As a matter of fact, when it gets into the area of jobs, employment, and unemployment, one number hardly scratches the surface. There are questions of how good are these jobs, what is the pay in it, how many hours. It's a multidimensional question.
Unemployment rate is down to 4.5%, not that much down from the month before at 4.6, but still, all in all, the kind of things that you normally look at look good. But as you say, what the big concern is for this particular person that wrote this article is, as we've talked about before, the loss of jobs in oil and gas, especially.
That's a huge part of it. But let me back up one step. A thing that I think many people don't realize is that when the Labor Department, and they're the ones who put out the unemployment statistic, when they do their survey each month, their rule is that if a person works any, I mean 1 hour for pay or profit during a survey week, they're considered employed. Now, if you look at it in a realistic situation of what does that say about standards of living and earnings and all, there's a big difference between working 10 hours a week or 20 hours a week or 40.
So even a part-time, someone who's working strictly part-time would be included as an employed person and would not be considered unemployed.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I say, if they're working 1 hour, they're considered employed.
Wow, that is I had never heard that before, and that's important to know. Well, they also talk in this article about the loss of manufacturing jobs over the last year in Texas to go with the oil and gas industry jobs. Really, though, manufacturing, loss of manufacturing jobs, that's not anything new, though, is it, for Texas?
No, that's been going on for quite a long time.
Yeah.
The real headline news is, again, that drop in the energy sector there. And as you pointed out, these are high-paying jobs. If you look at that relative to many of your service sector jobs, such as, let's say, restaurant jobs, there's not a close comparison at all relative to the wages.
And we're going to talk about restaurants here in another context, but we're going to tie it all in here together before it's all done. Yeah, oil and gas industry jobs down 61,000 in the past year, if I read that correctly.
It is. And places like West Texas, the Permian Basin area out there, also in South Texas, those have taken some major hits.
We're talking with Dr. Dale Funderburk, economics professor here at A&M Commerce. As far as manufacturing jobs, and of course, I know this is controversial and different people will have different point of view, but do we to some extent tie this to NAFTA and the loss of jobs to other countries?
It is. It's one of those things. In economics, we talk about comparative advantage. And to a high degree, those fairly mechanical assembling type things is much what's involved in manufacturing. We're not going to be able to compete on those.
Well, there was another article that I showed you, and this came out of Tyler, KLTV Channel 7 in Tyler, and it was talking specifically about the East Texas economy and the Tyler economy. And one thing they were sort of trumpeting there was the construction of new restaurants in Tyler. And of course, right here in Hunt County in Greenville, man, they can't build the restaurants fast enough. So we're kind of seeing the same thing here.
We are. And what is interesting to me is how closely the two things are tied together. A thing which you find in the economy is anytime you have a really, really large price swing in a major segment, such as gasoline there or energy, the effects of that just reverberate throughout the economy. They're not restricted to that narrow era. So you do have a thing that with the savings that people have from the lower gasoline prices, which a Chase study showed on average is about $700 per household.
Per year?
Per year.
Mm-hmm.
And of that, where there was a myth once that, well, people will save almost all that. They're not spending it. They're not. the Chase study shows that people are spending about 80% of that saving.
Wow.
20% goes to pay down debt or a new
saving. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But the largest single gainer of that new spending there is restaurants.
Wow.
That discretionary income, $700 is very significant, but you don't go out and buy a new house or car.
Yeah, but you may go out and get a burger.
Right.
Or some enchiladas.
Absolutely.
Well, all right. Dale, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us again.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Dale Funderburk, A&M Commerce Economics Professor, and you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.